Good Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a great morning. Hope you're enjoying your cup of coffee, and if you drink coffee, and enjoying just this nice day that God has given to us today. And I just wanted to finish up our Bible study that we began on Tuesday night. What I'm doing is I'm wanting to do Bible studies with our church on Tuesday evening and Friday morning. I call it Bible Study on the Nines. Tuesday evening at 9 and Friday morning at 9. And it's Bible study on the nines during the week. Just something different, something I'm just trying out, seeing how it's working. And also later today, I'll upload our final podcast that Jeff Jenkins and myself have done and uploaded just a few weeks ago. And it actually has to deal with Philippians chapter 4 about focus. And that's kind of a good supplement to what we're going to finish this morning. And it's going to be a final podcast because I found out a way how to record the audio of these Bible studies while I'm doing the video. Therefore, I can upload them on here on Facebook, on YouTube, and also on our church website for audio. That way, those of us in the church that don't have any capability of watching this, they can still listen to the audio part there and just kind of want to be available for you. And but what we'll do starting next week is until we get back, we'll do the Bible study on the nines as well as a Sunday morning worship service. And it's been a challenging time and a time of innovation, a time of unprecedented time, a time of just a lot of reflection, a lot of thought. To me, I'm hoping that during this time that you are doing something to better yourself, feeding your soul, learning something new, doing something that makes you a better person, and enjoy the simplicity of it all. I'm enjoying the simplicity of it all as well. But enough about all that. Let's get back into our Bible study. If you joined us on Tuesday evening, I talked to you about the idea of an ascetic attitude. In times like this, especially times like this, we are all tempted to have bad attitudes, to have acidic attitudes. And I used the illustration on Tuesday night of my blazer that I used to have and the battery acid that ate the carpet in the back of that thing. And there was a hole in there. And I used the illustration to talk to you about how a bad attitude, if embraced and it spreads, it could ruin organizations, it could ruin churches, it could ruin friendships, it could ruin families, marriages. We have to be on guard. I've got to be on guard. You've got to be on guard for bad attitudes in our lives. Oh, it's so easy to develop. It's so easy. Satan can use something simple as a bad attitude to ruin your testimony and ruin something else. Don't allow that to happen. It's so easy. And we talked about that idea and Paul's directions here in Philippians chapter 2. And we looked at the first two. On Tuesday night, we talked to you about the idea of taking self out of the equation in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. And the second thing is, let's model the example of Christ in verse 5 through 11. And we spent a little too much time on Tuesday night talking about that great doctrine of the kenosis of Christ emptying himself. And we must model his example of a servant. Let's get to the third principle, the third direction as it concerns a bad attitude this morning. In verse 12 and 13, number 3, we need to work out what God has worked in. Work out what God has worked in. Let's look here in verse 12 and verse 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. With fear and trembling, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul follows this incredible doctrine of Christ emptying himself and being a servant with a practical application to the situation there in the Philippian church. Therefore, in verse 12, that returns to the exhortation from chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, and the therefore in chapter 2, verse 1. In like manner, he's saying, Because you have the example of Christ's humility to imitate and the example of his exaltation to encourage you, you need now to obey him and continue steadfastly in your faith. He carefully informs them that they are responsible before God for their own salvation. Now, this verse does not mean to work for your salvation. A person cannot work out what he or she does not have. Nowhere in Scripture is this great paradox of divine sovereignty and human responsibility more clearly shown than in this verse. Work out, that contains the idea of carrying out to an ultimate conclusion, full completion. Hey, there are problems in life, but God will help us to work them out. Every life has tremendous potential. And God wants us, he wants to help us fulfill that potential. But we cannot do so if we have bad attitudes, if we're making excuses, if we're being lazy, if we're being imbalanced in our lives, or not even having Jesus Christ in our heart. The Bible teaches a man is saved by accepting that gift of salvation. There's nothing that you have done. It's what he's done on Calvary. You need to accept that. Has the Holy Spirit convicted your heart of your own sin and your need for a Savior? That is accepting that gift of salvation. And now that you have that gift of salvation, those who are believers, we must work out that salvation with fear and trembling. He died to save us. We accepted that. And then the Bible calls that term sanctification, being set apart, growing in him. And like I said earlier, we cannot grow in Christ. We cannot be who we need to be in Christ if we continually have bad attitudes, if we continue to make excuses, if we continue being lazy, and we continue being imbalanced in our lives, or not even having Christ in our hearts. Notice the next part of verse 13, to will and to do of his good pleasure. God must work in us before he can work through us. Let me say that again. God has got to work in our hearts before he can work through us. God is more interested in the workman than the work. If the workman is what he ought to be, the work will be what it ought to be. Too many Christians serve, obey God, etc., only because of pressure on the outside. The peer pressure on the outside. Not the power on the inside. That's why you've got to get a steady diet of this word, of this book. You cannot keep emptying yourself and others if you don't first put the word of God in your heart. Learn of him. Rest in him. We all, and I'll say we all, me, you, everyone included, we all have a tendency to please others and to obey God only when others are watching. Our attitudes aren't right. But when you surrender to the power of God within you through the Holy Spirit, obedience becomes a delight and not a battle. It doesn't become a struggle. It doesn't become a bad attitude. God not only gives the will to please him, but also the ability. So verse 12 portrays the human responsibility and verse 13, the divine sovereignty. And we need a balance of both. Never an either or. In a sense, Christians were saved the moment they believed, and they are being saved, quote unquote, as the Holy Spirit applies the sanctification process to their lives, and they will be saved at the resurrection. You know, it's almost like a promissory note. I'm assured of resurrection the moment I'm saved. And as I'm heading toward eternity with my life, God uses circumstances, God uses people, God uses things to... And my reactions to those, to grow in him, to learn of him, to being more like Jesus Christ each and every day. So we have to work out what God has worked in. Here's a fourth principle. Here's my fourth direction to overcoming an ascetic attitude. Look at verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Another translation would say without murmuring and without disputing. This word murmuring, this word complaining in the original Greek is an onomopoetic word. Now, what's that mean? That is a word in which the sound resembles its meaning. It refers to undertone mumbling and is constantly used in the Old Testament for the murmuring of the Israelites in the wilderness. You know that? A bad attitude, it manifests murmuring. A bad attitude manifests complaining under your breath. Unsaved people do that. People who don't know the Lord will naturally do that. We all have a tendency to naturally do that. Christians, if you are different, if you're trying to be an example to Christ in this lost world, we should rejoice doing all things with an excellent spirit. Notice the next word there, disputing. The word disputing relates to ill-natured controversies. If you have any controversy with anybody, it is biblical to talk it out and make it right. An excellent spirit leads to a great attitude. An excellent spirit strives for excellence in ministry due to the passion of it all. An excellent spirit is the attitude of Christ. Humble, other-serving, dependent on Christ, allowing Him to work in our lives. Verse 15 and 16 gives us the result in our lives and our attitudes when we apply these four things to our lives. Let me go over those four things again from Tuesday evening and this morning. Number one, take self out of the equation. Number two, model the example of Christ. Number three, work out what God is working in. Number four, do everything with an excellent spirit. Let's look at verse 15 and 16. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That's the result when those four things are applied from this text. I want to put these things in question form now as we get some takeaways, some application to apply these properly to our lives. Here's a question. Is my attitude blameless and harmless, as we see in verse 15? Is my attitude blameless and harmless? Instead of murmuring and disputing about the process through which the Holy Spirit takes us, Christians should become blameless and harmless, free from defect and pure. Here's a second question. Is my attitude without rebuke? Note that this purpose is achieved in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation there in verse 15. We are not to retreat from the real world and go into isolation. We have to live in this world. We must develop excellent spirits and a good attitude as we go about our business in this crazy, crazy world. Here's a third question. Does my attitude cause me to shine? Cause me to shine. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, verse 15. So as we develop ourselves spiritually, as we are growing in Christ and as we are perfecting our attitudes, we become witnesses to the world around us because the natural inclination to react to situations is radically different when we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and a world around us that's desperate for something different sees that and they want a little bit of that. Understand something, Christian. Many times you are the only Bible that others read. Society around us is crooked and twisted. But the Christian should stand straight because he measures his life by God's word, the perfect standard. This world is dark, but the Christian should shine as lights in a dark world. As we allow God to achieve this purpose in our lives, we become better witnesses in a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. How in the world do we expect to shine as lights in a dark world if our attitudes are acidic and our spirits have no thanksgiving? We're just dim in that light. I thought about that song we sing as kids, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Isn't that applicable to here in verse 15? If we are to shine, we are not to let anything dim that light in our lives. In closing, verse 16 is our prayer. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Verse 16 is our prayer. Rejoice in the day of Christ. Have not run in vain or labored in vain. We all have a job to do for the Lord, and He uses us to accomplish His purposes. Isn't that humbling? The fact that the Creator of all the earth uses you and uses me to accomplish His purpose. One day, Christian, if you believe in Him, you will have to give an account of what you did with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Have you been a light? Were you dimmed to an acidic attitude? Is your home a wreck right now? Is your work, is your life a wreck right now? Are you not being a witness for Him like you should be because of your attitude? We have to examine our own hearts. My challenge to you this morning is to rid your life of the attitudes that causes you to stumble and it causes others to stumble, and just focus on Him, having the mind of Christ. If you're here and you're listening and you're watching, if you don't know Christ, understand that this attitude the Bible teaches goes into what He did for you. He humbled Himself. He was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Have you accepted Him? What is your attitude toward Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Are you living for Him? Are you shining for Him in this world? That's some good thoughts there from Philippians 2. Here in a little bit, I'm going to upload our last podcast as it concerns our focus in Philippians 4, and I encourage you to listen on that audio part. It'll be on our YouTube platform as well as our church website. And I hope this is all a blessing to you as we've been in Philippians a little bit this week. And looking forward for a good service on Sunday. And it's going to be good. Just tune in at 9:30 Sunday morning on our Facebook page. And the audio will be on our website as well. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I hope you have a blessed day and a great weekend. Hey, let's have a word of prayer. And before we're done, Heavenly Father, we want to thank You so much for this beautiful morning You've given to us. We thank You for this challenge and this exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, that we should look at our attitudes, examine our lives, make the adjustments that are needed. Lord, I pray You be with each and every person watching and listening to the sound of my voice. Lord, use my words to speak to hearts. So use Your word, actually, to speak to hearts. Give us a good rest of the day. We love You, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much again for tuning in. Have a good day.